Blog Talk Radio.
Power in the name of Jesus.
every chain is broken, yeah, yeah. Break every chain.
Oh, yeah.
You get your own way, but you play your
I'm
Like me, it's a potato. Because He loves you when you're all alone. He loves you when you're on your own. And he will never leave your side. In his arms that we're the best, praising God. He's not a heart, praising God. He's not a heart, everybody knows. It's the best thing, everybody knows. It's the best thing, praising God.
Hope your turn, and they walk through that door.
My God is real.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The man of God, the woman of God is on the line, so we're going to pray and let them come on in and do what thus says the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. We honor you, O God, with all that you have given us, the tools that you have given us to honor you. We honor you with our lips, our eyes, our ears, our tongue, O God, our feet, our hands. Lord, we honor you even with the blood that's flowing through our veins. Our hearts honor you. Yes, Lord, our liver, our kidney, our pancreas, O God, our lungs, O God, every part of our being honor you, Lord. This morning we ask, O God, that you would speak to us as you speak through your servants this morning. Lord, that you would use them as your mouthpiece here today. Lord, we pray this morning that the Spirit of the Most High would show up in the midst of our ministry this day, O God, that you would, O God, overcome us. Take us over, Lord. Take us over, Lord, with the anointing that destroy the yokes and remove burdens, O God. We pray, Father God, for the bishop this morning. Open his spiritual eyes, his spiritual ears. O God, touch his tongue with fire of heaven, O God, that as he speak, O God, and interject, O God, that it would burn our hearts, O God, that we would say, didn't our hearts burn? Didn't our spirit move by the word he shared with the apostle, Lord? Touch her this morning, O God. Lord, we ask you to strengthen the membranes of her eyes, O God. Lord, that she would see clearly, O God. Touch her inner ear, that she would hear clearly. Touch her tongue, O God, that even the fire of God would come off her tongue, O God, like a sickle, O God. O God, burning up the things in our hearts that are impure, O God, the things that does not glorify you this day, Father. We ask, God, that you use them for your glory, for our good, but for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we have prayer. Come on in, Apostle. Come on in. Come on in, Bishop.
Greetings.
Greetings. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord. Lord, your love and kindness. And
yes,
for a wonderful day. This is your day, God. You made this day, God. And you have graced us to live to see another one. And, Father, we thank you. But mostly we thank you, God, that we're living. Our soul is alive, God, because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're not walking corpses, God. We are alive in you, Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. I know you're not going to get that. Excuse me. Glory to God. I tell you, puppy sitting is just as much work as sitting with children. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're here with our friends once again. God has graced us to do that. And we are so happy about it. Happy to be here. Oh, God, I'm so excited. So excited about the Word of God. And that's how it should be. We should be excited about the fact that God would even use us as a vessel. And glory be to God. So we should do everything that we should do to please him. Glory to God. Don't go in that kitchen. In Jesus Christ's name. We greet you all with love. And we're thanking God for all that he has done for his saints and all that he does for the sinner. We all fall short of the glory of God. This is true. No, you don't. No, you don't. Excuse me. I'm going to put us on mute for a minute. No more distractions in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle, for allowing us to come today. And
thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And we're so happy to do it. Like I said, we're excited about the Word of God. I'm so grateful that he uses us. And we want to continue to be used by God. So We have to sow our righteous seeds, amen. We're talking about righteousness and unrighteousness in terms of sacrifices and what kind of it makes us think about what kind of sacrifices are we making. We have to make sure that it's righteous sacrifices. We talked about Job on yesterday, the man of God. God thought out in that chapter talking about that he is a righteous man, that Job was a righteous man. And then many will wonder, well, if he's such a righteous man, then why God just took everything, took his children, took everything from him. But what God took was God. Amen. Everything God took from Job, it was his anyway. The children belonged to God. They were his. Everything that Job had, all of his wealth was God. But the devil wanted him to curse his God, and it's something Job would not do. But I said on yesterday, he used the wife to try to convince Job, that deceitful devil, the one that tried to convince us to do wrong. Why don't you curse your God and die because of everything that he was going through? And he called her a foolish woman. We talked about that yesterday, in case you weren't on the line yesterday. And most of us know the story. But we bring that story up because people who are the righteousness of God, people who are called the righteous, we go through suffering because of the cross, because of the cross that we have to bear in our lives. And we partake in the sufferings of walking a holy life. So this is what happened with Job. But like Apostle said, he was doubly blessed. After he went through his suffering, God gave him a double portion. He had more than before, greater than before. And he was already a wealthy man. But see, when you're wealthy spiritually, God will bless you even more. Amen. When you sow righteous seeds, when you sacrifice unto the Lord and make those sacrifices something that God will be pleased about and that's a sweet aroma to him, and then your life is going to be so blessed. And God is going to run us down with a blessing. He says in his word that he would overtake us with a blessing. Glory be to God. That's in the book of Deuteronomy. But we thank God for the blessing, and we must not take God's blessings for granted. We must not take his grace for granted. We must not take the things that he's given to us for granted and then begin to be selfish with what he has already done. And that's why it's so dangerous when many people, when they start out being humble. When they first get saved, we're humble. We're excited about getting saved. But when God begins to bless us, many people forget their first love. Many people get the big head. You know, I'm blessed now. I've climbed the ladder a little bit. I'm a little bit higher than I was before. And what happens is that we get that big head, and we begin to forget what God has done for us. We begin to think that we're all that, and we forget God. And God says, we must not, in the word, I'm saying this, we must not forget our first love, because God reminded the people in his word that you have forgotten your first love. And our very first love is God. When we were teaching on the plumb line, in this word, when we were teaching in the book of Amos, we talked about that they have forgotten their first love, because he is the one. God is the one that loved us before our mother, before our fathers, before anybody else ever loved us. He is the one, and his love is greater than anybody's love. God loves us more than anyone, more than anything. He loves us, and we must give him the honor and all the praise for loving us the way he does. Amen. And then we talked about David. Now, it was a different story with David. David went through some trouble. He went through a lot of trouble. You know, he was running. He had to run for years from the king, from King Saul that was trying to kill him. And it was because of jealousy. It was because of the fact that David was so blessed in his gifts. And the man of God hated David for that. And then David became good friends with Jonathan. And he hated him even the more, because his son had more respect for David than he had for his daddy. He did honor his dad, but he was so very close to David. and he knew that his father was doing evil things. But here's the point I want to make here today, is that David sold some unrighteousness. He did some things that wasn't right in the eyes of God when he sinned against God with Bathsheba. Because of the lust of the flesh, he wanted Bathsheba. And he said to Bathsheba that he was going to be with her, and she reminded him, I am a married woman. Mind you, I'm a married woman, but that didn't matter to him because that flesh was talking to him. He was hot for her. He had so much lust for this beautiful woman. And even though she was married to one of those that served him, he still wanted her. So I'm not going to get too deep into that. But what I want to remind us of is look what happened with David. God told him, now that he caused this man, he ordered this man to be killed, that the sword would be against his house. And look what happened. After he became king, now he's king now, he abused his authority. And that's what we're talking about. He abused authority. Because he was a king, he forced that woman to sleep with him. Then she gets pregnant. Now he tries to hide it. And he kills the man. He wanted, you know, he kills her husband. But here's the thing. After all of that, the sword was against his house, and God told him that the sword would be against his house. The first child that she became pregnant with for David died. She died. He was born sick, and that child died. David fasted, David prayed, but it did no good. That child still died. God took that child. Then, if you remember in the story about David, his own daughter was raped by his son. All these things are going on. And then Absalom, his son, started to hate his dad and wanted the kingdom for himself. He wanted to be king. I mean, all of this is going on. Absalom wanted his own father dead. He was upset with his dad. And all of this came after he sinned against God, after he did what he did. But we never hear about David doing anything like that again. But what I'm saying is that these things happen when we sow in unrighteousness. What he did was horrible. It was terrible. And how he planned it. He planned it. That's called premeditated murder. That's what that's called. You do a lot of time for that, you know. But God chastised David. But David, even through his chastisement, David continued to worship God, continued to praise God. He didn't get mad at God. He was angry, you know, because he thought, you know, how does the wicked still prosper? The wicked prosper. See, but here's the thing. When we are sons and daughters of God, we're going to prosper. But God will come to correct us. He will come to correct us because we are sons and daughters, and he comes to us to correct us so that we not be destroyed. God doesn't want any man to perish. Don't get it twisted here, what I'm saying. He doesn't want any of us to perish because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. But here's the thing. David was a man after God's own heart. Even though he made these horrible, horrific mistakes, not mistakes, This was premeditated with this husband of Bathsheba. That wasn't a mistake. That was willful sin. But he thought it was all right to do that. See, he was abusing his position, his authority as king, and that's so very, very important in this message. It's about leaders, and it's about how leaders abuse their authority, how leaders oppress the poor, how leaders just throw their weight around, you know, and cause people to do wrong, cause people to be led into sin. My God, cause people to be led into destruction. And so David suffered in that way. He suffered in his family life. He suffered in his personal life. My God. Because of what was done, that was judgment. That was judgment. That was chastisement. the things that his son did, and how his daughter was raped. But you know what? We have to be careful about the seed that we sow, because what we're doing now, can affect children, grandchildren, great grandchildren. It can affect their lives as well. Okay, so let's be careful. I know y'all know this, but God is speaking today. We got to go back. We got to go back. Some of us need to go back and think about, is there anything that I didn't ask God for forgiveness for? Is there anything that I did in my life that I have not repented for? Is there anything I've said or done? You know, I oftentimes say, Lord, forgive me for anything that I might have said or done that's not like you, Lord. Bring to my remembrance if it's something I need to remember, God, that I forgot about. God, bring it to my remembrance. And I know that when I ask God for forgiveness, he's going to forgive me. I know he is, because he said he would, that we can ask for forgiveness. And when we ask for that forgiveness, and we ask him for it out of a pure heart, I really mean, God, that I'm really sorry. I really do want to repent, God. We're not just saying it. We're not just giving it lip service. We really mean it. We're really sorry. You see? We really want to repent. It's not everybody that say, I repent, mean it. Because we say we repent and do the same thing over and over. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. And so we ask God, God, forgive me. And God says, I'll forgive you, and then throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. I'll forget all about it. God doesn't remember. He said, I won't remember no more. I won't remember no more. And God wanted to just give us a new life. He wanted to give us really wonderful life. You know, you got people going around preaching your best life right now. This is your best life right now. And they're talking about prosperity. This is your best life. Our best life is a life given unto God. That's our best life, given unto Jehovah, making ourselves a living sacrifice of the Lord. That's the best life. That's the best life. And then all of the things are going to be added unto us because we have given ourselves unto the Lord. We say to the Lord, have your way with me, Lord. I need you to use me. I need to be the one you want me to be, God. I need to be more like you, Jesus. I really do want to be closer to you. I really do want a closer walk. I really do thirst for hunger and hunger for righteousness, oh God. I really do, and God's going to know it. He's going to know if you mean it. And so God is speaking to his leader. And when this happened with Job was a friend of God. He was a friend of God because he lived for God. But his children weren't living for God. All of the wealth that he had belonged to God. The children, everything, the animals, everything that he had. Job was extremely wealthy. And think about it. God did a double take on it. Glory be to God. And this is what God want to do. And Apostle made a point yesterday when God said, now you're not going to hear me anymore. We did it in chapter 8. The worst thing is not to be able to hear God anymore. The worst thing is not to be able to hear God and not to be corrected by God. We should not despise the chastisement of the Lord. We should not do that. We should be happy that God loves us enough to correct us and not allow us to continue to live in a destructive way. God, that he loves us that much. Thank God, Apostle made a point too, that when parents chastise their children, it's because of something they did. Something they did. We don't just go and chastise our children and just look at our child and say, okay, go in the corner. Just go over there. Just get on your knees. I don't want to look at you anymore. No. Apostle made the point. We do that when they have done something wrong, when they've disobeyed something we've asked them not to do. They didn't follow a rule or whatever it is. And so they get punished. Well, if we as parents, we as people chastise our own children, even the more so God will chastise us, our Father in heaven. He's going to chastise us. Amen. And the Bible has a scripture that says, even the more so our God will chastise us. He made us. We're his first. Amen. So let's go in. We're finishing up chapter 8. And the last chapter is chapter 9. And in chapter 9, Amos has a vision, and it's a hopeful vision of the future. And doesn't God always give us hope? Even when we mess up like David, there was hope. There was still hope for David. He still remained king. And he remained king because he truly did repent. How about all the other kings that did evil against the Lord and God destroyed them? God destroyed them. But it was different with David because he was a worshiper, because he loved the Lord. He was a praiser. He was thankful, and he cried out to God, and he truly did repent. And God wants true repentance. God is not going for this lip service stuff. He's not going for it. He knows when we're really sorry. Believe that. He knows our heart. So we go into book 8, chapter 8, and we're there. And it talks about the sovereign Lord in verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit. I talked about it yesterday, but I think I need to touch on it right now. What do you see, he says to his servant Amos. And he said, a basket of ripe fruit. Now, it's ripe. It's beautiful. It's ready. You could really go for this ripe fruit. And Amos says, I answered. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, the songs in the temple will turn to wailing. Many, many bodies flung everywhere. My God, the bodies are everywhere. And when he says it's ripe, they're ripe for judgment. They're beautiful. The temples are beautiful. The buildings are beautiful. They have a lot of prosperity. They have everything they want. They're riding high on their horses. They're noble people. They're people of authority, but they're abusing their authority. And they're not walking in the ways of righteousness. And so God is going to destroy. God has a plan to destroy them. But the man of God prays. He prays for the people. He prays for them. And he says to God, he's asking God not to do it. And then God said, I will not. And he did that twice. God said, I will not. So you see, Amos was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. God had threatened to annihilate Israel. The prophet had already warned the people of judgment. Now it arrived. What could Amos do? He gave them the word. He told them what God said, but they didn't want to listen. And a very good point here is when he went to Amaziah, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this morning. When he went to Amaziah and told Amaziah of the impending correction or what God was going to do in the judgment, Amaziah was very upset. And he was like, you need to get out of here. You need to go back where you came from. We don't want you here. Here you are in here with us. Here you are living among us, and you're coming against us. You're talking against us. But here's the thing the Holy Spirit reminded me of. They did not even consider. Now, this is God's people. They did not even consider, okay, this man of God is coming with this word, and first of all, they don't want to recognize him as a prophet. And what he's telling them, they already know. Here's the thing. People know when they're doing wrong. People know. These people in the position of authority, they be wheeling and dealing and doing wrong here and doing wrong there. They know. And most of them, they're taking bribes and they're just, they know what they're doing. But they don't want to accept the fact that, look, I'm king. I'm president. I'm the mayor. I'm the governor. I'm the this. I'm the leader in the church. I'm the prophet. All of that. God is not impressed with all of that. But people get impressed by it. People look up to it. And it's so foolish. Many people will just follow these people to their death because of foolishness, because they believe the lies and the deception of the devil, because the devil is just that good at his job. Believe that. And I'm not giving no praise unto the devil. I'm just telling y'all, y'all know he got some power. The Bible tells us he does. So anyway, the ironic thing is that they're not hearing God. They're not hearing God. God is talking to his sheep. He's talking to his people. They're supposed to be his sheep. And the Bible says the sheep know my voice. The Holy Spirit brought that to me this morning. My sheep is supposed to know my voice. They know my voice, and they will not, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. But they are. Well, they don't hear God anymore. They don't hear him. Because if they was hearing God, if they could still hear God, they would stop what they're doing. They would repent and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, God. I see what you're saying, God. I see myself. I see myself, God. Help me to change, Lord. Show me the way of change, God. And they would accept that correction. And they would, you know, by examining themselves. So the Holy Spirit reminds me, they don't hear me. They're not hearing what I'm saying. And God wants them to hear, so he sends his prophet. But they want to send the prophet away. Look, it's okay when you prophesy against the mother folks and all them other nations. It's all right when you prophesy about those that's outside of us, outside of the way, outside of the church. It's okay when you prophesy against them. But when you come and talk about us, come to my face and talk about us, oh, we're not accepting that. Because Jeroboam is the king. This is the royal house. You coming and talk to us, talking to me. And so he runs to the king and he tells the king what is going to happen and how Amos is talking against him and how he's going to be destroyed. Well, God did it. They didn't want to hear the Lord. Now, he said, my sheep hear my voice. So when God, this is what the Holy Spirit made me see. So when God says that you won't hear me anymore, you know, because they're already supposed to be saved now. They're already supposed to be saved. But when he says you're not going to hear me no more, now you are reprobate. Now you are reprobate. And the devil, I'm just going to let the devil have his way with you. Oh, my God. Now you can't hear me, don't want to hear me, don't want to change, don't want to hear my prophet so you could prosper. Then go your way. Keep on your way. Talk to your gods and see if they're going to deliver you when your time of demise is here now. See if your gods that you're talking to, your shrines that you've erected, see if they, those that can't talk, they can't talk, they can't do anything. Let's see. You're just as dumb. You're just as dumb. It's just you're just as dumb as that shrine that you've erected. That thing can't talk. That thing can't do anything. Surely it can't deliver you. It can't do anything for you. So God is saying, you're not going to hear me at all. And then he said they're going to be going from here, from the east to this place and that place, trying to hear God when this great thing comes, when the day of the Lord, oh, they're going to be the day of the Lord come. You know, when things start happening, God already warned you, told you you're going to be destroyed, excuse me. But now God said, you're not going to be able to hear me. You're going to be running from the east to the west. You're going to be going from seat, going from place to place, trying to hear a word from God. But you won't be able to, because now your ears cannot hear. My God. God said, my sheep. That was supposed to be his sheep. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be his people. God sent the prophet to his people. And so we don't want to become reprobates. We don't want to have our ears shut off, become deaf, dumb and blind again. God deliver us from that. And then when things get so good, oh, I'm prosperous now. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. They're always saying they're blessed. I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And we sing the song, we're blessed. We're blessed. Jumping up and down, singing the song, we're blessed. My God is good all the time. Oh, yeah, he is. He's good. And he's good enough to give you some chastisement. Oh, he's good, all right. He'll give you a good whooping. Yeah, he's good. And he'll love you down. He'll love you, hallelujah, all the way into eternity. God will never stop loving. Oh, but we better stand up. We better listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. While we can still hear. My God, my God. And so as we move here, as we see moving, we're about to go out of eight now. But I wanted to stress that this man of God prayed. And so this book is showing us that we must intercede, even though the people are stubborn, even though the people seem to hate us, and they do a lot of times, they do, especially when we go and bring a word of correction. They don't want to hear. They only want to hear all the wonderful, good stuff, the beautiful stuff. You know, you're going to have a $1 million house, and you know all that good stuff. We ain't going to go into that today. But God wants you to know how much he loves you today and that he always will love you, and he is a merciful God. And so the only thing the man of God could do, because he's overwhelmed with all of this, when you read the story, you feel the drumbeat of the story. You feel it. You feel it in your heart how this man of God was feeling. And he loved the people of God because we love what God loves and we hate what God hates. And he hates the fact that he's got to bring these words to them. But he's got to do what the Lord said to do. So he's overwhelmed and he's begging God. That's the only thing he could do was to beg God to forgive. Amos prayed for his people with compassion and honesty. And little bitty Israel, he said, would not survive the judgment of God. This is his book. This is in chapter 7 where he's praying. And I just wanted to go back there a little bit because we want to stress the prayer. It's so small, God. They're not going to survive this. And twice. He interceded, and twice with God, God withdrew his judgment. But Amos, he stepped in between the people and God and negotiated for them to live, for them to survive. Oh, my God. So you see, prayer does change things. See, Amos shows us what to do with impossible situations, impossible problems. Of course, prayer doesn't take the place of good, solid leadership. But Amos continued to perform the job to be the man that God chose him to be, giving them the truth, telling them in Amos 7, chapter 7. But he reminds the leaders how powerful, he's reminding us, how powerful prayers can be in the face of troubled times. Because God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And if we do get a word of correction, please examine it. Because not all prophets are bringing the word of righteousness from God now. Because they got some of them. They'll speak curse words. Because they're evil, and they call themselves the prophet of God. So be careful. It's a word of correction. If it's a word of correction, examine it. Go to the Word of God. Cry out to God. Do a fast and pray. Okay, God, I got this word from you. But, you know, like I said before, most people know what they're doing wrong. But sometimes we'll do things that's unbeknownst to us that may be something that we are doing, and it's just not the right way we're doing it, and God will bring a word. And that's different. We just don't realize that it's something, it's a way that we're doing it, and it's not the way of God. It's just not the way God would have us do it. That's the thing. That's why we pray for God to lead us and guide us so that we can do it the right way in the sight of God. Because, see, we're not concerned about all about what man says and what man thinks so much as we are. We know we got to know what God says. We got to follow what God says. Amen. Hallelujah. But when the prophets, when you know there's a prophet of God in the midst of you, and you will know because God will allow you to see whether or not you are in the presence of a prophet that he has chosen to be a prophet. Amen. You're going to know because God's going to allow you to see. Glory to God. Allow you to hear. Glory to God. And most times when a prophet brings you a word from God, God has already spoken to your heart. Mm-hmm. When a prophecy goes forth, most of the time you've heard it already. You've heard it from another prophet. Or you heard it yourself. You had a vision. You had a dream. Whatever. Because God is one who confirms. He confirms his own word. Hallelujah. Over and over and over again. That's why people say, oh, the Bible just repeats itself on purpose. God does it on purpose. He's a God of confirmation. Glory be to God. And he will confirm his word. I know about it. I know about it. I've experienced it over and over and over again. Amen. So when a prophecy comes, if you have not heard it, if it's really a prophecy from God, put it on the shelf. Write it down. Put it on the shelf and say, God told me, God told me. Because a lot of people are saying, God told me, but they're lying. They're proper lying. God didn't tell them anything. And that's dangerous. But anyway, put it on the shelf. God will confirm. If it's God, it shall come to pass. Because God's prophet's words will not fall to the ground because it comes from God. Hallelujah. God's word is not going to fall to the ground. And it's not going to fall, return to him void. His word won't do that because he's God and he's true and he never can lie. Amen? So just know we ought to listen. Pay attention. Pay attention. There's too much going on in this world for us to be lax with prayer, lax with fasting, lax with reading our word, lax with studying. God said if you study, if you meditate on my word day and night, my God, only then are you going to make your way a good success. We can't be a good success. We can't be a good leader. We can't be good at anything, especially to the pertaining to what we are supposed to do in terms of kingdom business. We can never be successful at it until we meditate, until we learn the ways of God, until we learn to walk in righteousness. Walking in love is walking in righteousness. Walking in love. Walking as the royal priesthood we're supposed to be, the ambassadors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ones to represent him in holiness. Otherwise, we're representing the Father of lies. If we're doing it any other way, it's not of God. Amen? So the man of God, he is praying. But remember, prayer does not take the place of solid, good leadership. And Amos continues to do what God said. In spite of how Amaziah talked to him, you see, we got to stand up. We got to stand up to the people who are against God. We got to stand up. We can't be talked down by the devil. We're not going to allow the devil to talk us down. to turn away from our assignments. We're not allowing him to do that because we got the power and the authority of God living in us. Amen. And we can stand and do all to stand because he is leading and guiding us. The power himself, our Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us in all truth and who is our helper and who brings us to remembrance of the word, keeps us in remembrance of what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. He's our guidance, our teacher, our help, our comforter. He's all we need. Ah, my God. He is all we need. Remember, a good leader allows himself to be led by number one, God himself, Jehovah. My God, Jesus. Reminds leaders how powerful their prayers can be in the face of trouble. It is powerful. But still, as we pray for some folk, it doesn't change them. They don't change. Be encouraged, because many times it does change. It does change situations. People do change. Prayer changes things and changes people because God will draw people to Jesus Christ based on what the saints of God is doing. Are we bringing the word? Are we doing what God said it is? Oh, I'm in the middle of the message. Okay. I have to pause a minute. We got some work got to go on. Hold on a second. Hold on, Apostle. Hold on, people of God. I beg your pardon. All is well. All is well. Praise God. We're back. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for being patient. So, Amos, in this book, reminds us that we must pray. We have no idea what kind of changes can come about or what kind of pain that we can spare others by what we do in our prayer closets. It's so much. And God listens to the prayers of the righteous. He says the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth not much. The fervent righteous prayer. The prayer of the righteous is fervency. We got to stay at it. Stay at it. And be adamant. Be adamant about it. It's God's word. We pray his word. We pray his word over people. Glory to God. It's very important the man of God prayed, because these people abandoned everything that was like God. They abandoned it. Their values were all confused. They had it all back. They taxed the poor, like I said. It was all for selfish gain. They were very corrupt in their thinking. They oppressed the people. They took bribes, y'all. They deprived the people of justice in the court. And we still see it today. It's nothing has changed. But we're talking about the people of God here. It's not supposed to be so. We're supposed to thrive in righteousness, thrive in justice. We've got to do what's just. God says do what's just and do what's right. That's all we got to do. And God does the rest. We just got to stay focused and stay in line with the word of God. So let's get to, we're moving now into chapter 9. Chapter 9. Turn there. And we're finishing this up today. We're talking about the righteousness of God. We're talking about this message is unrighteous sacrifices and righteous sacrifices. The sacrifices that are made by a pure heart, God will receive. God will receive it as a sweet aroma, and we will be blessed immeasurably, immensely, by what we do for God with the right heart. Amen? We've made that very clear. And all the people on the line, the people that we are connected to, are sowing righteous seed. Hallelujah. And I said yesterday, be careful. Be very careful where you sow your seed. Know what ground you're putting your seed in. Know if it's good, fertile ground in the Lord. People that are in the Word of God. People that are living the Word. Not just talking about it, but we're living the Word of God. Amen. Where's what? Wait, hold on, please. Hallelujah, glory to God. So in book 9, it says, verse 1 says, I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the top of the pillar so that the threshold shake. Bring them down on the heads of all the people, oh my Lord. Those who are left I will kill with the sword. Not one will get away. None will escape, though they dig down in the depths below. Mm-hmm. From there, my hand will take them. Though they climb up the heavens above, from there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on top of Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from my eyes at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent to bite them. Though they are driven into exile by their enemies, God will use the enemy. God will use the enemy to do things. He'll use the enemies against them. There I will command the sword to slay them. My God, my God. I will keep my eyes on them for harm and not for good. The Lord Almighty, he touches the earth and it melts, and all who live in it mourn. So people are going to mourn. You know, the Bible says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And when the wicked rule, the people suffer. And people are suffering even now for what the unrighteous are doing. People are suffering because of what the government is doing or not doing. People are suffering for what the leaders in the church are doing that they're not supposed to do or what they're not doing. People are suffering. We're talking about leaders in general, not just church leaders, because there are wicked leaders in the government as well, wicked leaders on the job front, in the workplace. Their wickedness, that when you got evil in you, how can you do good if you're evil? How can you do good if you're not following in the ways of God? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. We're not going to do things the way it will please God. Amen? And so in book 9, what I love about this book in chapter 9 is that, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but the main focus here is that this chapter finishes with a hopeful vision of the future. Amen. In chapter 9, we're going to skip down to verse, we're going to go to verse 11, where it says, Israel is going to be restored. He said, I'm going to give the and I will shake the people of Israel. There's going to be a shaking. Hallelujah. And there's a shaking right now, and many don't know it. Things are being shaken up. Glory be to God. He says, I'm going to shake the people of Israel among the nations as grain is shaken in a sea, shaking it up, and not a pebble will reach the ground. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword. Now, God is saying all the sinners among my people, because they got people, God's people is among the people, my God, and they're corrupt, but they're supposed to be God's people, and that's what the wheat and the tares mean, amen, because there are tares there, glory be to God, and those people who are that wicked, and they're supposed to be doing the things of God, working for the Lord, working for the kingdom, doing kingdom business, but they're not. They're doing their own business, and they're causing their own demise. But they're among the people of God. The people are supposed to be the people of God, being led by the Father of lies, are among us. The kingdom of sin is right there among the kingdom of God. Right there, the devil is there. He go to church too. My God, he'll beat you to church. He'll beat you to the sanctuary. My God, he's right there, and he's leading and guiding those who are still walking in darkness, and they are among the people of light. So God said, the people among my people, they will die by the sword. Because God is still calling my people, my people. My people is still my people. My people are the ones that still can see me. My people are the ones that hear me. And when my people hear me, they do what I tell them to do. They do what Father says to do. Glory to God. That's my people. And you got people that's deceitful sitting among the people of God. And they cause their own demise. That's right. It's your own fault. It's not anybody else's fault, because we decide we're going to have it our way. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm big now. I'm on top of the mountain. I'm on top of the world. Oh, they got that song, on top of the world, on top of the world. And I mean, they be singing that in church. On top of the world. I'm on top of the world. Hallelujah. I got it going on. I'm on top of the world. You don't want to be on top of the world. You know what? I wouldn't even sing that song. You're on top of the world. You don't want to be out there in the world. And you're not supposed to be out there. How are you on top of the world? You didn't make it. You didn't create the world. You didn't make nobody. Everything in this world belongs to God. How are you going to be on top of the world? You shouldn't even be singing that in church. We shouldn't even be singing some of these songs in church. It's of the world. It's worldly. It's not holy. How are you going to be on top of the world? My God, my God. Why you want to be on top of things where the world is concerned? The world out there is evil, following in the ways of God. Oh, no. God would take you to the top of the mountain. He took Moses up to the mountain to give him his instruction to talk to the man of God. And the man of God will come down from the mountain and bring the word to the people. Hallelujah. Yeah, God will take you up there. My God, he'll bring you up. He'll elevate. My God, he'll elevate those that are following in his ways. Those that can hear him, they're really my sheep. So the sheep is among the wolves. My God, the sheep is among the wolves. It's right there. And some of us, we're not running with the Holy Spirit. We're running with the wolves, running with the devil. And we call ourselves, oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Yeah, you're blessed, all right. Yeah, you're blessed, all right. The devil know how to do things to make you think you're blessed. Uh-huh. Give you all this stuff. He wanted to do it with Jesus. He wanted to do it with Jesus. He could never do it with Jesus. Promised him all these kingdoms and all of this when Jesus was in a garden. Fasting. This belonged to God. How are you going to give Jesus something that belonged to him? how are we going to talk about we on top of the world? The world don't belong to us. This earth don't belong to us. It belongs to God. And we're on good stewards of what he has put into our hands to do. Good stewards. Speak with God. God. We obey God. Hallelujah. We got to obey him. That's all he's saying. Just do what I tell you to do. And you won't be destroyed. So God gives his people a ray of hope. I am your hope. I am your everything. The great I am. It's not going to destroy those that's following him. But look what happened with Saul. Saul was destroyed. Why? Because he just wouldn't listen. He wanted to kill an innocent man because he was jealous. These witches that are out here, these Jezebels that are out here, they want to take the people down. My gosh, because the devil is mad with the people of God. He's angry, and he is mad because he's an animal. People ain't supposed to get mad. Animals get mad. We're supposed to, I mean, anger, it should be related to people. But he's mad. He's like a mad animal. He's an animal. A maniac, that's what he is. A maniac of wickedness. And if you want to run with the wolves, you want to run with the pack, you want to be in that circle with the wolves, you'll be destroyed like them. God said you're going to cut them down. You're going to cut the big ones down. They're coming down. He's going to uproot them. Totally, totally destroy. When you kill something from the root, it's dead. Pull a tree up, a tree comes up out the root, it's dead. It's not going to be no more. It's not going to grow no more because all the roots have been pulled up. God will uproot the evil. My God, and there'll be no more. Hallelujah, he's going to destroy all the evil. Matter of fact, the devil is already a defeated foe. So in chapter 9, God talks about, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair the broken walls and restore the ruins and rebuild it. Because, see, God did say he was going to knock all the columns down. He's going to knock it all down. And those that didn't knock these buildings down and those that did not get killed and crushed by the buildings, he said, I'm going to get them with the sword. You're not getting away. You can go to the ocean. You can go try to swim away. You can do all that. You can run to your bunkers. You can do all that. You're not going to get away from God. There is nothing too fast or too deep or too wide, my God, for God to come and get. Hallelujah. He already knows where you are. He knows where we are in our hearts and our minds. He knows where we are in our walk. Amen. And he knows where you're going. Before you even go, he knows where you're going. Before we commit the sin, he knows what we're going to do. Before we do what's right. And the planter by the one treading the grape. It's God's word. So when we see in chapter 9, God is still a merciful and just God. God doesn't want to see. This is one thing God doesn't want to see. He wants to show us that he's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to destroy his people. But God doesn't leave a destroyer, and I believe the apostle said that. We destroy ourselves. We cause the demise, and God acts upon what we do. Yes, he does. He acts upon what we are doing in our life, and God judges accordingly. Amen? Son, I've got to get out of here in a minute. It's 12 o'clock. For what you did with us today, chapter 9, we went through the whole chapter. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. And like I said, we wanted to go to verse 11. We're in 11 all the way to see, 15. Yeah, 15. Chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. God is saying that Israel would turn down, but God would rebuild it. In the days of old, the stony walls around your heart, the stony walls around folks' hearts will be torn down. Torn down. This is what God wants to do, to restore us to righteousness. God will rebuild us in a wondrous, beautiful way that only God knows about. Don't give up on folk. Don't give up on your family, your friends, your neighbors, strangers. Don't give up. Stay going to your prayer closet. When God tears down, he will build up again. He rebuilds in miraculous ways, in ways that we could never think about, or ways that are not expected. Hallelujah. Israel today is not exactly like it was then, but he did rebuild it. He did rebuild it. Just as he said, and he rebuild us. He rebuilds. I thank God he's rebuilding us. He's rebuilding you and me. We are not finished. We don't get finished until we get there with God. God said, I'll finish the work I started in you. The word of God. I'm going to finish you. Jesus said, it is finished. He finished our salvation. He finished our sanctification. He finished the righteousness. He finished it all at the cross. And one day it'll be finished for us. Because God said, I'll finish the work I started in you. For you. It's for us that he died. It's for us that he gave his life. Hallelujah. For you and for me, so we can be restored, so we can be rebuilt, so that our hearts can be right with God. Hallelujah. So God is shaking things up right now. It's a shaking for an awakening. All we see going on is a shaking for an awakening. It was going up then, down, going on then, and it's going on now. God is still the same God. He's not asleep. There's no slumber in him. My God, he never sleeps nor slumber. He's the same, and he's not going to change for anything or anybody. We cannot bribe God with our offerings that are not. We can never bribe God. Never. You can't buy a blessing. You can't buy sanctification. You can't buy salvation. Hallelujah. You can't buy grace. You can't buy mercy. You can't buy love. You can't buy these things. Surely we're not going to bribe God. So when people do unrighteousness toward others, you're robbing God. You're robbing God. And I ain't just talking about no money. We're talking about robbing people of love, robbing them of mercy, robbing them of the grace. Hallelujah. But thank God for grace, because even though we rob people, God is still taking care. God is still having mercy. But Malachi 3:10 says, will a man rob God? Will you rob God? Oh, yeah, they're robbing God. They're robbing him with offerings. They're robbing him with unrighteous offerings. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're robbing him, all right, with unrighteous offerings and stealing and wheeling and dealing in the name of Jesus Christ. Wheeling and dealing, talking about Jesus and living for the devil. Oh, my God. So verse 12 says that they may possess the remnant of Edom
and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord.
Unknown caller.
This spam call, I tell y'all, it's outrageous. The spam calls we get, but it is what it is. So the Edomites were the cousins of Israel. Esau and Jacob were both sons of Isaac, and the son of Abraham, the sons of Abraham. And in that time, Esau funded Edom. In Genesis chapter 25, and his brother Jacob is the one whose name was changed to Israel in Genesis. His name was changed. So the two nations had many confrontations with one another. And Edom was the only nation burdening Israel that was never given a promise of mercy by God. So Edom, just doing a little history here, Edom east of Israel and was called Seir, S-E-I-R, and the Red Rock city of Petra was located in Edom. This is all important to this message. So the preceding verse in chapter in verse 11 is a promise that Israel would eventually be restored, and this verse talks about the promise that the area that was formerly called Edom is ultimately to be included in that restoration. And God's promises do come to pass. Oh, yeah. God says he promised it and it's going to happen. Whatever God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Unless he decides to relent. So in verse 13, where we are now, he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper. This is very important. And the trader of grapes, him who sold seed, listen, when the mountains will drip sweet wine, and all the hills will be dissolved. That's restoration. You see, we all get old. And there's weakness that comes. We're not the same when we get old. We're still well. We can do well. But everything that goes on in our bodies, we could still be well. So, we get older both physically and mentally, y'all. We know that. We got a lot of seasoned people on the line, and we got some age, we got some knowledge on us. So our situation, yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to leave it right there. Our situation in life ain't working, but nothing, however, can compare with what individuals are faced with within the nation of Israel at the time of this time, these verses, when this happened. As a people, their generation would be no more. No more. You see, what they're saying in here is that no agony, no trouble, no sickness in this life can compare to being destroyed by God. It can't compare. It can't compare to losing our soul. No amount of trouble and agony, no amount of adversity can compare to losing our soul.
to being destroyed and never to be able to come back again, never to be able to be restored. That's what happens when we totally give up on God. He never gives up on us. But when we totally give up on God, that's a big, huge problem. No, God don't have no problem. We give our problems to God. So he says in verse, nothing. No, we're around there. We're at 14. What's 13. So families, we're still in 13. Well, we're getting, I'm still expounding on 13. So the family, and families are torn apart, and loved ones will be killed before your eyes. And the freedom, God said, he's going to kill them. He's going to kill the children, everything. You have loved ones, just like David. David lost Absalom. They lost the first baby that he and his love, Bathsheba, because he loved her so much. He had a lust for her, but he did love her. He was lusting after her at first, but he did love her. And that love child they made together, David so wanted that baby to live, and he fasted and he prayed, but God took that child. You know, I've never lost a child. When I almost lost my son, it was just pure agony when my son almost died. Not too long ago, right back in October. And it was agonizing, but I trusted Jehovah. I trusted Jehovah Rapha. I trusted God for a miracle. On my way, before I even left here, I called the pastor. We were talking. And I was crying. Oh, I was crying. But I was still trusting God. Of course I was crying. I'm his mother. It was hurting my heart. It was jabbing my heart. My son is laying in the hospital on a machine. He couldn't even breathe for himself. They told me that. They didn't expect him to live. It's agonizing. I almost lost him. That agony, that pain in that heart, my God, I can't describe it. I can't describe it. Another time, somebody came and said, Darren is dead. I almost passed out. But it was little Darren. And still, it was help. This young lady had a baby. She said that was my son's baby, but I don't know. But he was born with so many different problems. Oh, the child, he wasn't even a pound when he was born. And he went through so much. But he was a twin, but the little girl died. But I remember being in that hospital. I went to the hospital because the young lady wanted me to be there. And we prayed over those children, and God allowed that baby to live, one of them to live. The little girl was stillborn. But so they said that he wasn't going to live at all. But then when he did live, they said, well, maybe he'll live to 3, maybe he'll be 5. But this child lived to be a teenager. He was 19 years old. God allowed him to live. And what a beautiful spirit he had. He loved the Lord. Oh, did he love the Lord. That child would praise the Lord from the wheelchair. He would be jumping up and down in the wheelchair, praising the Lord. But here's the thing. He did pass, and they said, Darren died. And when they said Darren died, my daughter, I was walking into the garage, and my daughter was behind me. And she said, Mama, Darren died. And when she said that, all the life just felt like all the life just left out of me. I tell y'all, I almost passed out. And she said, no, Mama, it's not Darren, it's not big Darren, it's little Darren, but I still was sorry about it. But just to hear about a child of yours, my God, so let me get off that. But I went to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital, I was praying. When I got to that hospital, I brought the oil. Apostle had brought me some oil. I got my bottle of oil in my purse, blessed oil. And Apostle, I used that oil that I keep in my purse, and I anointed my son in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declared a miracle before the Lord. I said, Lord, give him another chance. You know, and I just prayed and anointed his body, anointed his head, his legs, and everywhere I could get to put my hand. God said, lay hands on the sick and they recover. And I said, God, that's what you said. But anyway, God restored my son to life. The doctor said he wasn't going to live. He could not live, they said. I said, oh, he... But Mercy said no. Mercy said no. And I wasn't hearing the doctor. I was hearing the word of God. I was hearing the report of the Lord the whole time. I believed God that my son was going to make it through. And the doctors were standing there when I was praying. Nurses, the room was full of people. And I went there. And I stood for what I know. Amen. And that's what Amos did. He stood. The doctor's saying, no, he's not going to make it. You need to pull, we're going to pull a plug. It's no hope. It's no use. And I said, no, you're not going to pull the plug. No, the plug will not. Because, you see, you have to give them your permission. And I said, oh, no. I was saying my son is going to live. He's going to live. He shall live and not die. To declare the works of the Lord. He's alive today. But I'm telling you how I know. Now, these people, God was saying he was going to see their children die. Oh, God. Oh, God. My God. Let me get off that. Because my mind is going too far into that. But thank God for miracles. Thank God for salvation. Because even if the Lord had taken my son, he was saved. He's a prophet of God, but that's beside the point, really. This young man sees visions. Oh, my God. He is so gifted in the prophetic. But here's the thing. God one day is going to use him like he can't even imagine. That's my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, it's a terrible thing. It's hard. And God is saying in, here what I'm talking about. I lost my thought there. But families are torn apart. The loved ones would be killed before their eyes. And the freedom they thought they had was about to be lost. But it wasn't the end for Israel. My God, my God. Not the end for the people of God. Just as your situation, maybe your present of in your present time, in your future, in your situation, it's not the end. Whatever you may be going through today, not the end. See, I'm a living witness because I've been through so much. And I believe it's all for the glory of God. All the testimonies that I had is for the glory of God. And God reminded me one day. I didn't understand when I was younger in my walk. And God reminded me, what has happened to you? What has happened to you is for someone else. It's not. It's for you, but it's what we go through. The testimonies that we have is to bring somebody else out because God brought me out every time. He brought us out every time. He brought our family out every time. I tell you, I tell you. I know what God will do, what he's able to do. Yes, he talked about the plowman in a field. And this is talking about the harvest of the fruit that's planted in that field.
So you see, our troubles will lead to God's glory and our good. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. It's all for the good. Hallelujah. God's glory. It's for his glory, it's for our good. The chastisement for our good. The trouble, the adversity for our good. The good times, the bad times, the ugly times for our good. So verse 14, and we're about finished. He said, also I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. Listen to our God. What a merciful, wonderful God. Hallelujah. He's restoring. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. All of the ruination that has happened in your life, God is going to restore it for the good. Hallelujah. My God. So Israel, 100 years ago, didn't even exist anymore. But it does now. It does now. God is bringing his people back to Israel. Israel. Hallelujah. You can take an airplane to Tel Aviv. You can get on a bus. Ride for a while, then walk around in the rebuilt Jerusalem. Those in Israel today do make gardens and they eat their fruit. And I'm told it's the best fruit you ever had. They said that soil is so rich over there, Apostle. They said it's the best fruit you will ever eat in your life. So, you see, broken dreams are like that. Our lives may be destroyed, but we wait for a city which has real foundation. Who is the builder and the maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that. We look forward to a heavenly country, not made by any man or any woman, for the lost and for the broken. God has prepared a city for us. We can't see it right now, but it exists and it's prepared for you. Don't give up. There's trouble, or have you fallen? If something has happened and it's not good, all we got to do is just repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, bring me back. Lord, I know your love will bring me back. God's love will bring us back. I know. Verse 15, I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. My God, you never have to wonder. You never have to wonder. God has promised in his word, and he doesn't renege on his promises. You see, and I've lived in a few places. I've gone to different states. I've gone in different places in Louisiana and lived there. I was raised in the same neighborhood for many years. I lived in the same neighborhood for many years till I got married and left home. Even now, we have a beautiful home. God has blessed us with a beautiful home, beautiful family, beautiful life. But none of this, Apostle, none of this is truly home to us. Just as this earth Father. Here's what he's done for me. What he'll do for you if you receive him today. God will place you deeply in Christ to wait our true home. You've never seen it. But when you give yourself to the Son of the living God, he begins to draw you utterly to himself. If you allow him, he will draw you to himself, to the land given to the people of God in Christ Jesus. And you won't be rooted out again. But he's going to make it so. The possessions and the things on this earth may be lost, like Job lost everything. But God restored it, didn't he? Story of restoration right there. And what God gives will last forever. So, Father, we are so grateful. Lord, have mercy, God. We thank you today. We pray leadership be restored unto holiness. We pray today, God, that broken places would be repaired, oh God. That the lost will be saved. Who are saved will work out their salvation through your word. And God, that the hope for prosperity, that wealth, the richness, the wealth of the word, the wealth of the spirit will be renewed. We will realize that truly, true wealth is in the spirit. True wealth. That wealth that you tell us we can have in Deuteronomy. You said, wealth and riches would be in our house. Hallelujah. The riches of a spiritual life. Walking in holiness. Walking with integrity and honoring Jesus Christ and honoring the people of God, our leaders. Honoring the leaders that God put into our lives. And Father, we're just grateful for that. Hallelujah. You see, many people just get depressed when they hear only words of judgment. We all need of how it can be when we cooperate God to redeem us in our sin. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for taking me high in from a low place that we have been in our lives. Thank you, Father, that it is your will that we live in Christ Jesus forever. To give us, Lord, for going astray and for building up walls around us. Those walls that will keep us separated from you. So today, God, I pray that we totally place our trust in you, Lord, right now, God. That people will receive you as their Savior. And the prodigals will come back to you. And that your people will know that you are always with them. And that you're willing to restore and renew, give them something new in their life, oh God. And restoring the foundation. Putting them on a solid foundation. The salvation in Christ Jesus. Lord, that they'll have it today and keep it, God, through you, through the Holy Spirit, that they be filled with your Holy Spirit, oh God, and allow him as they are filled to stay filled up, with their lamp filled. Hallelujah. As we walk in holiness, God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for restoration. Thank you for your word. Thank you for getting us through all 9 books. Thank you, God. for getting us through, period, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we will do the prayer of salvation. Please accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the only Redeemer. There's no one else that can redeem us from death, from the death of our souls. He's the only one. Oh, God, thank you for redeeming us. The Bible says that the redeemed say so. I say, thank you, Jesus. We are redeemed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bishop. Bishop. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, y'all, honor and glory and praise. Both, we pray that you heard the message and that you go back and re-listen to it. But if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's the time to do it. There's no better time than now. Don't say, I'll do it when I go to church Sunday. Are you promised tonight? None. We know. None of us know. Except Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Run to him. He's standing at the door waiting for you to open the door. And for all you who have backslidden, give it up. Come back home. You know that the Father is standing there and he sees you afar off. You know, just like the prodigal son. He sees you afar off. Come back home. I urge you. I earnestly urge you. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it. And by no means, no one knows when they're going to go. You can take a fully loaded gun and put it to your temple and just keep pulling the trigger and not one round will fire off. If it's not your time, you're not going to die. So, well, you can die before time now. Don't get me wrong. But if God says no, I'm not going to let you take your life. You're going to work for me. Yeah, just put on your work clothes. You know? And that's just the work in your mind. Put on, go to work. You know, because once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're an automatic ambassador to the kingdom. Invite everybody you know to become a Christian. Accept your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you say exactly what I say, well, go to the scripture. Scripture is Romans, the book of Romans, and chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. If you don't have a Bible, write this scripture numbers down. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. This is where salvation is made. Right there. And the word of God in verse 8 says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak it because the enemy cannot read your thoughts. All he can do is inject thoughts in your mind. And go back when he looks at your record of what you were weak with, he uses it against you. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a whole lot of things that you were doing, you know, it's going to flash back to you. Wow, that was good times. No, it wasn't. We thought it was. It wasn't good times. It was very bad times. But the good time was that Jesus has forgiven you. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, everything you've ever done that was out of his will, you're saved. You have a clean record. You know, your record was expunged of any sins, and there never was there, according to God. It's just like you go to a court of law and they expunge your criminal record. You know, these criminal acts that we did. And I say we because, oh, believe me, my background was not squeaky clean. God knows it wasn't, but I thank him so much for accepting me into the kingdom. So my salvation is where it's supposed to be. But I know we all fall short of the glory of God every day because none of us are perfect. But as soon as you find yourself in temptation, don't let it get to you. Rebuke the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask God to forgive you for even having that fleeing thought cross your mind. Because it's just a trick of the enemy. But you're saved. Now, if you've never been baptized, you should get baptized, which is an outward sign to everyone that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38, the word says, repent. And if you make this prayer of salvation, like it says in verse 9, that you, before we get to the baptism, in verse 9, it says of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that died for your sins on Calvary, that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Plain, very easy, but you have to repent. Like I said, don't go back. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, the first thing Peter says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You know, take yourself out of this world that we live in. Live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Come up, come from among them. Don't be with the worldly people, because when their world ends, game over. No makeup games. Once you cross over, you're going directly to hell. Okay, play spiritual monopoly if you want, or spiritual Russian roulette, but I urge you not to do so. I strongly urge you, don't play those foolish games. I was blessed many times over. The best blessing I had is when Jesus accepted me in his kingdom. Hallelujah. And my job is to work for the Lord. I'm an ambassador in Christ, and so are you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you have said this confession today. Now, congratulations to you, first new believers. And to you, congratulations, brothers and sisters who have decided, hey, I better get back with Christ Jesus because he's the only way, you know. And for you, I pray that you don't go fall back into temptation. I don't care how good it tasted, how good it felt, you know, how what a thrill you got. There's nothing that's gonna thrill you like fires of hell. It's not gonna thrill you. It's gonna hurt you continually for all eternity. None of us wants that. Not really. So, accept Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, I urge you. In Jesus' name I pray. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Apostle, Bishop, thank you for that word. Lord, we just bless your name and praise your name for what you have given us through your servants today. And Father, we ask, oh God, that you wrap your arms around them and allow them to experience your full presence, oh God. We ask, Lord God, that you hold them as the apple of your eye, Lord God. We pray this morning, oh God, this afternoon, oh God, that you continue to reassure them who they are in you. Reassure them, O God, that you are keeping them from all hurt, harm, and danger. That it doesn't matter how the wind blow, how the rain fall, how the earth quake, that you are their protector, O God. We pray today, Lord God, that you allow them to know that. It doesn't matter how the finances roll from time to time. Let them know that you are their supplier, not only in finances, but you would supply the water they need to drink. You would supply the food they need to eat, O God, for you said, even though that there be famines in the land, that your people will not be hungry. because you make provisions for them. Lord, I thank you and praise you, O God. I glorify you for the word that you have given us again today, Lord. What an infilling of the word, O God, that fills us, O God, and give us life. Give us life assurance that you, O God, is the one that's fitting us, because you are the bread of life, O God. You see, if we feast on you, we'll never be hungry. You are the water. If we drink, we'll never be thirsty, Lord. Lord, I thank you. See, you are the light, and if we follow you, we'll never walk in darkness, Lord. I thank you today for the word. And I ask you to continue to bless everyone that heard this word today. The four corners of the earth, those that will hear it later, bless them. You know why I tell you, Apostle, I saw some things this morning, and I was looking at Wesley Snipes, and, you know, he is an African-American, and I was looking on something that they wrote about him, the commentator. They wrote some dialogue about him, and it was saying that when he went to Hollywood, that he was nobody. And they didn't want to give him a break in Hollywood because he was too dark. And they was saying that they didn't want nobody in Hollywood that was darker than Denzel Washington. But when he got in there, and then he started to learn the ups and downs, and he studied a little bit about acting and stuff, he didn't want to fool with no black people. He felt that he was better than all the other black brothers that fought for him in Hollywood and the black people. They said that he lost his position because that he got too puffed up and too proud. And he was talking that message, and I was listening, and I was hearing that in my spirit that, you know, sometimes that people will get to a position in ministry and they believe they're better than everybody else. And I know some people right here in Boston. I know some people right here in Boston. I could call them in right now. I wouldn't. But I tell you that they think that they're the best preachers. They're better than everybody. They walk with their chest shoved up. But I realize that it's not how much you preach or how you preach or how big your house is or where you live. But it's how you live. It's how you live. How you live your life, that's going to make the difference. You talked about your home. You got a nice home. I've been there before. And, you know, you let know that it's not the home. It's not the home. It's not what you drive, you know. But it's the way you live your life for Christ Jesus that's going to make the difference. Don't matter what we have in the bank or what we don't have in the bank. Don't matter how much we give or how much we don't give. It's all about how we live for Christ. That will matter. The Bible make it clear to say what you do for Christ and what will last. That's what really matters. And I was listening to that word, and you talk that people get the big head. They get the big head. You know, but that, I don't need a big head. I want to have an understanding head for Christ and for Christ's people. You know, understanding head. This is what it's all about. We begin to live a life that glorifies God, that honor God. You know, that God say he's proud of. You know, I always think I know you like me. I bring a lot of times I bring in Job in the message, in my messages. I don't care what I'm preaching. It seems like somehow he creeps in somewhere, like he's there watching me. He just come on in the message. But, you know, every time I think about Job and how the God, when Satan come in there talk, having a conversation with God, Satan never asked God nothing about Job. That always blesses me. He didn't ask God nothing. Well, who is that fella standing over there? Why he sitting over there in the corner? He didn't ask God nothing. God introduced Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And God even feel so special about Job. He said he is one that, he's a righteous one that walk upright and one that eschew evil. He keeps evil on the back burner. I said, wow. You know, he talked about Abraham in the Bible, but not like how we talk about Job. Job was special. He was special. That's why God could have put him before Satan and allowed Satan to test him everywhere, but except kill him. And he went through the ringer. It's like Job had his hands in the vice grip, his feet in the vice grips, squeezing him, blood coming out of him. And still he wouldn't renounce God. I'm telling you something. That was a blessed part of the sermon that you talk about there too. All the whole sermon was just very, very good, very great. I tell you that the word of God is such a pleasure to hear the word of God just expound upon. It just blesses your heart. You know, blesses you. I love to hear the scriptures, I tell you. And you bring in the scriptures, I tell you, that's what's so beautiful. Because I can go back and look at the scriptures. I can go back and look at them and then get some more, you know. Glory. But
and
you did and this did so much. And I always know when it's going to be a good. The sermons are always good, but I can always know when you have a sermon that's going to really, really cut me in the inside. Because that little dog would get start acting up. The moment I hear that little, I say, okay, there it is. There it is. That little dog is start acting. You know, see, start, as soon as you got a real hot, stop it.
Uh-huh.
That little dog would cut up. I mean, you got to put us somewhere and let it lay down. Lord Jesus, but I thank you for the word. It's just a blessed word. God, so many people are listening. And I'm getting so many responses. A lot of you people are coming in and listening, not making any response, but that's all right. And then we got people that are sending me text messages on Messenger, and that is good. Now I'm on Twitter now, so they're sending me text messages on Twitter. So, you know, so that is good. That is good. We just reaching out to touch more people, you know. We're reaching out to touch more people. So I'm going to start posting the message on Twitter too. You know, we want to reach as many people as we can, you know, maybe in the millions. You know, we want it, that we know that we send out to millions of people that, you know, we already know people are all over the world hearing us. So, but we want more people to hear because it's getting close. Do you see what the president said this morning? Do you hear what the president said this morning? I'm telling you something.
I didn't see any news. I was looking at my word. I didn't, you know.
I tell you, Apostle, he take the scripture from Genesis and turn it upside down. Ooh. Turn it upside down. I mean, just took the scripture and the pastor was commenting and says, and the pastor said, this is why we got to pay attention because. The Bible makes it very clear that you got to study to show yourself approved unto God. Not unto
yes,
man,
Lord.
Unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that man take that scripture. He take that scripture that God created man. He created him. He created man and woman in his own image. And he take that scripture and then he flipped that scripture. He brings in transgender homosexuals.
Oh, my Lord.
You hear what I'm telling you? And telling them that they were just like God in this state, in this state that they are. And don't worry about the people that are coming against you and so on and so on, because you live in the life that God created you to live. I mean, I said, Lord, how
my Lord.
The people out there are leading that in position and know the truth, turn the truth upside down, and leading people straight to hell. Straight to hell. That's why we got to preach the message that we preach in here on Blog Talk Radio. And wherever you go, preach against sin. Not against the people. We always say it all the time. We're not preaching against the people. Preach against sin. Because God is going to hold us responsible
if
we don't release the truth. If we don't release the truth, he's going to hold us responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no joke about it.
No joke.
That's what he told Ezekiel. He said, you got to tell them. Because if you don't tell them, I'm going to require their blood on your hand. But if you tell them and they reject, when that trumpet sound, when the sword comes, their blood going to be on their hand, on their own head. So that's why we got to tell them. And I like telling folk, and you said it the other day, they said today, but we're not preaching against you. We love you. But we're preaching against sin. Now, if you get mad with me for preaching against sin, that's your prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay. But I'm giving you the truth. Jesus got killed because he tell the truth. He was telling the truth. And he told him that the Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. They got mad.
They got mad. Absolutely.
And ever since that day, he healed on the Sabbath day. They sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. See, when you tell the truth, folk gonna come against you. They gonna find everything to turn people against you once you telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that you trying to give them the medicine that they need. The angel told John, he said, look, when you eat it. Here she goes. I heard her, Papa. You got it. She's like a bad little girl. The angel told John the book of Revelation, she's like, when you eat it, it's going to be sweet to your mouth, but it's going to be bitter in your belly. That word. And, you know, a lot of people, they go after the word, they get excited about the word. It's sweet to their mouth. But when that correction comes, they don't want to hear the word anymore. Now it's become bitter. It becomes bitter, you know. But you have to take that word and take the bitter with the sweet, because that's what's going to draw us closer to God. That's what's going to bring the correction. That's what's going to hinder us, stop us from doing the things that we want to do that make us feel good. You know, make that flesh suffice the flesh, you know. I know last night I had me an ice cream sandwich, right? I ain't had ice cream for a while. You know, I would tell them, I said, well, I need some ice cream. Well, she bought some ice cream sandwich. Well, the Lord, yes, I believe the Lord didn't want me to have that ice cream sandwich last night. I put the ice cream sandwich on top of glass right next to the bed. I'm sitting there talking to her and stuff. And next thing I know, the ice cream sandwich, I have to take it up, make sure it don't come through the thing, and put it back in the freezer. Hey, it's got soft. I said, well, I guess God didn't want me to have that sandwich last night, so I put it back in the freezer. You know, sometimes we got to really tune our ears to heaven and hear what God says. Sometimes we want to eat this, eat this, eat that. And this time God said, well, you don't need that now. You don't need that piece of cake now. You know, gotta listen. And God will you put that cake on and the little saucer, then you'll get around doing stuff. And forget, as much as you thought you wanted it, you needed it, you forget that it was on that saucer. Then you look and say, oh, Lord, it was sitting up there for 2-3 hours. I ain't going to eat that now. And that's what I had to do. But I'm thanking God, Apostle, because you all are blessing me and give me a chance. I couldn't ever get a chance to do any painting yet. I got everything set up now, but I'm finishing today. And what happened is my eyes was burning me so bad I had to lay down. And I closed my eyes.
Wow.
They were just burning. Both of them were just burning so bad. I mean, feel like if I got something, and when I was washing, if I got some soap in my eyes, you know, and it's just like fire. You know, if you ever get soap in your eyes, it's like something else, man. And so I had to lay down and I put some drops in my eyes to try to cool them down. But I'm gonna get up because I got the whole thing already painted already. I just got to trim out the baseboards. And I told her I'm going to put one more coat on today, and that will be it. Then I'm going to clean the floor and set up everything.
Yeah.
So when Samara comes, she's going to be very happy. She's going to be very, very happy. You know. So we're just thanking God. So I'll just open the line now. And thank you, Brother Bishop. I like calling you Brother Bishop. That sounds so good to me. I feel that when I call you Brother Bishop. Oh, I just feel that in my spirit. I thank you for the prayer of salvation. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you to do it. Do it your way. You know, Frank Sinatra said, he said, I did it my way. And I like when you do it your way. You do it your way, how the Holy Spirit lead you. And it's never the same. I don't know if you listen to yourself, but it's never the same. It's never the same. Every time you do it, it's different. Because he takes you out of ways to interject other stuff inside the prayer of salvation. Even the little girl dog, she said, she'd be coming up there. She's a little bitty thing too. I can hear her. I can see her. She's a little bitty dog. Yeah, I can hear her voice. The line is open. If anyone want to come on and encourage the woman of God, the man of God, you can come on in. I think Brother Deacon, he's getting ready to head back to Mississippi. But the line is open. If not, Brother Bishop, go ahead and pray and close us out. Hey, Bishop. Bishop, pray and close us out. Nobody has said anything. And I'm going to rest my eyes another 30 minutes, and then I'm going to get up and paint this and finish this job. Glory to God. Okay. Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for those that had a chance to come on and heard the word today. We ask, Father God, that you bless us as we leave this line, but never your presence, God. We ask you to continue to order our steps in your word. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask, O God, that you will bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, and bless us when we go. Pray, Father God, that you will make us ahead and not the tail, that you will set us above and not beneath. O God, we are praying that you make us to lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, Father, we are praying today that you will bless us, these finances that they say will come here. And may we pray that may be the opening door or gate for the money to come so that we can help so many people, those that are less fortunate than us, oh God, that we can help them with a little house or a little house. We can help them with a little house, food. Oh, Father, what is that up here now? We can.
I'm on, Apostle.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. And we can help them with the things that are necessary to survive a sustained life. And Father, we pray, God, that you continue to add more folk to Blog Talk Radio. And bring folk, oh God, that would be part of what we are doing, oh God, that would encourage, we could encourage each other, Lord God, because you said, earn, sharpen, earn. And Lord, we want to be sharper because we are not as sharp as we want to be, but we are not as dull as we used to be, Lord. We thank you, Father God, and we praise you, oh God. Now, so Lord God, as we leave this life, but not your presence,
yes,
we pray
Lord.
That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, will continue to rest and abide with us, and that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from kidnapping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that Jesus already know that all of us, just as Romans chapter 3 and 23 says, he know that all of us have some bad works in us. They're just laying dormant. That's why you find that some Christians can find themselves that when they get into a tight spot, they'll cuss somebody out. They'll bust somebody in the face. That stuff that's supposed to be laying dormant or supposed to be buried, they dig it up in a minute, and they use it. So Jesus said, don't use that stuff. Let that stuff stay in the safe. Let it stay in the ground. You know, just let the light that I place in you be seen, that men will see it and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So in other words, we have to let the righteousness of Christ, as the woman and man of God were preaching about today, let that be seen. Don't let the unrighteousness be seen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times you can go back and look at the message and you can find, see what God is saying. He said unrighteousness and righteous. You got unrighteous sacrifice, you got righteous sacrifices. Hallelujah. So why are you going to go for the unrighteous? Just let the righteous be seen. And then people will come to know Christ. This is what, that he wants your light to be seen.
Yes.
And people say, well, I had one used to come on the prayer light, on the church light, or I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. And I go to another prayer light and say the same thing. Well, I had this confrontation with this buddy on the job, and I sure gave them a piece of my mind. And you could see the person was becoming more crazier and crazier. Because if you keep giving away a piece of your mind, you're going to become like a jigsaw puzzle that don't have all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Don't give nobody a piece of your mind. I ain't giving nobody a piece of my mind. I work too hard with the Holy Spirit working with me for me to get my mind together. For me to give somebody a piece of this. No, you're not getting none of this. Go get a piece of somebody's mind, but not none of mine. So I thank God for you all. I believe the prophetess, sure, she didn't send me a response yet. I believe she might bring the word tomorrow. If not, we'll come on and bring the word. We'll come on and bring a word because I got a word there. The Lord's given me out of several books. But the main book I will come out of is the book of Revelation.
Amen.
And Israel will be tomorrow. If she don't come on, I will come on there. And I have a topic the Lord gave me this morning. How does it taste? That is the topic. If she don't come tomorrow, I will teach about that tomorrow. How does it taste? How does it taste?
Mm.
You know, and they're talking about the word of God. How does it? I give you a little snippet in the sermon here with Apostle today. How does
all
it
right.
taste? How does it taste?
How
but
does
we
it
thank God for your apostle and bishop and apostle Stuart and so on. You all go ahead and get some stuff done today, and I will talk to you all soon. You know, I love you guys, but as we always say, Christ love us more. All right, I'm going to get some things done in this house before my honey, come
right.
home.
Please keep Peter up in prayer.
Okay.
He's now living in another place.
Yes.
And it's in Hammond, Louisiana. But he's transitioning pretty well right now. And we pray for him to continue to do well, learning how to do things differently. So he's missing us, but it's okay. He's transitioning pretty well. Just got out of the hospital 2 days ago.
Yeah, we always keep him in prayer. We got to keep him in prayer. Because now, you know, it's going to be hard for him that because he's not being the boss.
That's right.
It's going to be hard for him. He not being the boss, it's going to be hard for him. You know, Peter used to be the boss over there, and slide out, he was the boss, but now he's not the boss. So we definitely got to keep him in prayer. We definitely got to keep him in prayer.
Yes, for sure.
Even the more.
Yeah.
I usually pray for him every night, but I got to pray for him even more now.
Yeah.
He's not the boss now.
That's right.
We praying that you get everything done and get everything back in order for your home, and that's what we focus in prayer on you, and but we're keeping them in prayer, and we're keeping the Apostle Stuart and Pastor Joyce and their family in prayer, and we're praying for Brother Deacon to get back to Mississippi safe. We know he's gonna, but we're still praying anyway, because we know that he and his mama said they're not used to being on airplanes, you know. But, you know, they're used to being chickens, like I told him yesterday. They're used to being chickens, but now they're eagles. They're flying high above the sky. So we thank God for you all. Have a blessed afternoon. We know we love you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
And hopefully I'll bring the word tomorrow. Okay, the Lord say the same. All right. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, love you too.
Yes, let me go get some painting done now.
All right.